keep it simple, right? From the producers out there in the barn, feed, water, air, you know, the healthy pig, you know, is going to lead to a more profitable pig when it's all said and done. So health is king. And really just kind of keep it simple for producers. And when you're looking at from a benchmarking perspective, you know, again, averages are nice, but really looking at from a percentile standpoint, and see what that variation is, not just from a MetaFarm standpoint, but also from your own internal company.
It's time for a new era of communication in the swine industry. One that you can get the latest updates while commuting or driving to farms. Here you will have the brightest minds of the global swine industry in your pocket. Swinet Podcast is only possible with the support of forward-looking and innovative companies like AB Vista, New Nutritional Perspectives and Novel Enzyme Applications to Drive Pig Production, Zinpro, Essential Trace Minerals, Exceptional Performance, Every Pig, a simple yet powerful pig health and production management tool. Gestall, always one step ahead in swine feeding. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high quality, safe, and sustainable way. NutriQuest, experts serving producers and delivering breakthrough solutions. Genesis, the first power in genetics. Merck Animal Health, driven by prevention.
Welcome to the Swinet Podcast Show. My name is Marcio Gonçalves, your host for today's episode.
This episode's sponsor highlight is about AB Vista, an animal nutrition technology company offering innovative products and new applications for the swine industry. The combination of AB Vista enzymes, technical services, and nutrition expertise provides the industry with new opportunities to further improve production efficiencies. Fiber is receiving renewed interest due to its influence on the microbiome, and AB Vista has brought together research experts to discuss the industry's knowledge of fiber functionality and to introduce a stimbiotic targeted to improve fiber digestion. To request access, contact NAM at abvista.com.
Hello, everyone. Today we have Brad Eckeberg again, and now we're talking about the benchmark analysis that he has conducted along with the MetaFarms team, but also with it being a project that has been brought to you as well by the National Pork Board. How are you today, Brad?
Doing very well, sir. How about you?
Doing good. So, fill us in. What did you learn on the finishing side and when to finish side of things?
Yeah, I mean, from the finishing side, I guess some of the observations was, you know, the impact that summer heat really does have on the outweigh, you know. So when does it happen? How long does it happen for, you know, and what is that impact? And, you know, you look and you might see there's maybe a 3 to 5 pound difference, but, you know, you got 1,000 pigs that you're marketing in a barn. That's a lot of pork that's not being produced. So I think that was a big observation there on the finishing side.
Okay. So you say summer versus winter, was it about 3 pounds?
It's about, let's take a peek here really quick. It was, about a 7 pound difference, you know?
Okay.
So saying about that 6 to 8 pound difference, depending on the month, you know, from the high and the low from throughout the year.
Okay. Yeah, that's quite a bit. How about, you know, if we zoom out a little bit and look at the evolution over the last few years, where we are for mortality, the weight, average gain, and those main parameters.
Yeah, so I mean, we're producing a heavier pig from 2019 when compared to 2017. You know, the high end in 2017 was 282 pounds on a finishing group, you know, for an average outweight, where now in 2019, you're at 284, 285. And again, you know, it's maybe 2 or 3 pounds, but again, you're marketing 1,000 pigs, that's a lot more pork that's being produced.
Very good. And then I'm looking here at the report. So mortality, we are about a 4%, right? The ballpark on the finishing side, at least.
Yep. 4 to 5 pounds usually. Yep.
And then 6% mortality on the wheat finish. What else did you find on these reports? I mean, if you want to dive a little on the finishing and then we can move more to wind finish, Any other things that caught your attention on the finishing side?
Yeah, I mean, on the finishing side, so, you know, we talked previously about how the impact for nursery mortality and how, you know, that PERS starts to flare up in that October, November timeframe, and those groups aren't starting to close out until, you know, earlier in the year. You know, when you look at the finishing mortality, it's very similar to like nursery, actually, where you start to see the first really two quarters of the calendar year, you're starting to see a higher mortality than you are towards the end. And I think that's just a vicious cycle of, you know, the PERS hits, you know, late in that October, November timeframe. Then we've got about 4 or 5 months of tough mortality, kind of gets better than towards that second half of the calendar year. And then again, like a vicious cycle, just kind of rinse and repeat. So,
right. And if you move to the wind finish side, any difference there or very much the same?
So the wind finish, from a mortality standpoint, we're seeing really the mortality at its highest in that summer time frame. And a big thing to remember is, you know, from a mortality standpoint for wind finish, those groups are about 6 months, right? So where those pigs are being placed early on in the calendar year, they're not closing out until, you know, that summer / early fall timeframe. So really when you're looking at for mortality, the big thing to remember is when are those pigs being placed, and then thus how long on feed are they usually taking from that perspective. Another comment I want to make really quick on the wean to finish, it's important to note that we're only benchmarking on single stock wean to finish barns. So if you've got a barn that you're saying is a double stock, or you're filling at 150%, from a Metafarms benchmarking perspective, we're going to throw out those groups that are double stocked or you know, really above 150%. So something to remember when you're kind of comparing your numbers against our numbers.
How many, just for folks get a feel for the size of the database and everything, how many farms or pigs are involved on this data set?
Yeah, that's a great question. So from a nursery standpoint, from our previous conversation, in 2019, we had about 9,300 groups that were closed out. Finishing, we're in that 11,500 groups that are closed out in that database. And then from a wean to finish, single stock in at 3,400 groups. And really the size of the groups obviously vary. One also thing to kind of note is, you know, those are a lot of groups, but Metafarms also throws out roughly about a third of our groups due to a data validation checks that we do to ensure that we're benchmarking on numbers that are within our normal standards and stuff.
Right. And then if you look inside any of these metrics, I mean, there's always that big difference, right, between the best performing, not only groups, but also flows and producers or production systems. And so any insights there from our experience, again, on we talked a few episodes ago on the nursery side of things, but how about here? Any differences here to that you see among the best and the worst?
Yeah, I mean, so one thing that we do for our customer base is we do some benchmarking on the size of the groups. You know, so if I've got a 1,000 head barn, how is that performing compared to like a 5,000 head barn? And just, you know, for another angle maybe to look at for users within benchmarking and stuff. And you know, looking at some of the numbers for our finishing would be about 65% of our groups are in that 3,000 head or less. And when you look at it from a mortality standpoint, within those groups that are 3,000 or less, it really, from a mortality standpoint, makes up a lot of those groups that are actually that are dying. Surprisingly, the larger groups are doing surprisingly better. You know, again, it's a smaller sample size, but the larger groups seem to be doing better. And I'm not sure if that's from an animal husbandry standpoint, that maybe there's some more laborers out there. Maybe there's a newer facilities. Again, it depends on the producer, I'm sure.
Right. Have you ever done any analysis on like the number of sources and that kind of approach?
So it's a little bit challenging within our system and stuff. It's easier on the nursery side than it is from a finishing side. Really from the fact of, you know, tying in that sow into our nursery is a lot easier for our customers to do. Whereas in the finishing side, really kind of bringing all that information together is something that we're working on currently today. Is I want to be able to look at a whole production from sow all the way to finishing and tying all that information together. But we doing some initial studies that we've done and stuff. It really is flow dependent. You know, surprisingly, we're working with a couple of our customers to look at mortality based on the number of sources that you have, you know, say a single source versus, you know, seven or eight different flows that we would do, you know, and from my background, you know, obviously single source is kind of ideal, right? But looking at it big picture, is it financially as well as performance wise, is it what's best for the company? But again, going back to some of the analysis we've already done, is surprisingly the 2 to 4 sources actually perform somewhat better than a single source. Again, you might want to bring in also like what the health status is. You know, are we pulling out one of the farms because of a health issue? That can obviously impact performance as well.
Interesting. Wow. I mean, yeah, normally the, and it's a tough, controlled experiment would be tough to run a controlled experiment in that kind of situation, but that is interesting. And also 2 to 4, but then like you said, hopefully the same health status,
right? It's, you know, and then, you know, it's, it, are the 2 to 4 flows, are they it's a micro flow, is it a PERS, you know, or is it a, you know, why are we grouping those together? So it's important to look at, you know, being a data person, digging deeper into the numbers to see what are those single source, or why are those sources brought together? And that's something where, you know, the end user, the company themselves knows why we group those together. You know, from my days at Holden Farms, you know, there's reasons why we grouped multiple farms together. And it might be a health status standpoint, or it might be just we want to get these barns filled. And we would see that, you know, as we're preparing for those, you know, summertime temperatures, you know, we might need to combine more flows together to try to keep that weight up and in that finishing. And by doing that, we got to keep the pigs in there. But we still got that ever never ending flow of pigs coming out the sow farm that we got to find a spot for them.
Right. And on the feed efficient side of things, I'm looking at the numbers here, 2017, 18, 19 for the finishing. I'm just going to read them to folks. So 2017 was 2.81, 2018 was 2.8, so very much similar, and 2019, 2.82. So all of them very similar within the 0.02 range. And I'm assuming that's not adjusted, is it?
No.
Okay.
You know, and something that I would encourage as I was looking at like the feed conversion is, man, there's really not that much of a difference from a year to year on an average standpoint, but really looking at it from a percentile. Again, it's something that we do for our customer base, but looking at what is the percentile with the top 10% versus the bottom 10%, and you'll see a very large swing in feed conversion, you know, and the dollar figure per tenth of feed conversion really varies on from company to company, but it's very impactful, especially for larger producers. That every tenth of feed conversion is really impactful on the bottom line.
Genesis is the largest independent producer of high health registered purebred swine in the globe, having over 80% of all registered purebred breeding stock in Canada. The Genesis genetic program uses genomic selection strategies focused on productivity, faster growth, efficiency, high yield, and meat quality. To know more, go to genesis.com. GENESUS.com. For knowledge and news from the global swine industry, access our partner, thepigsite.com.
Right. And you always have to be careful, right? Is that coming from saving feed, right? Correct adjustment on the pen coverage, or is it, you know, management side of things when it comes to temperature in the barn versus, hey, I'm just adding some extra fat and I might even be losing money. I'm just just chasing that feed conversion number, right? Which is not something I see very often in the US as much as I see sometimes in other countries.
Yeah, I mean, and don't forget about late-term mortality as well, right? You're putting all that feed in the pig, and whether it's at transportation or even the last 4 or 5 weeks of pigs being in the barn, surprisingly, that's a higher number, I think, with customers than what they actually even look at is on the grow finish side is why are those pigs dying late in production? Because again, we got all that cost into them that just inflates that feed conversion.
Yes, that's huge. As we wrap up here, Brad, any final comments on the benchmarking that you've done for finishing and wind finish?
Not to sound like a broken record, but keep it simple, right? From the producers out there in the barn, feed, water, air, a healthy pig, is going to lead to a more profitable pig when it's all said and done. So health is king. And really just kind of keep it simple for producers. And when you're looking at from a benchmarking perspective, again, averages are nice, but really looking at from a percentile standpoint and see what that variation is, not just from a MetaFarm standpoint, but also from your own internal company.
I love it. It's been a joy, Brad. Thanks so much
for
bringing that information for us.
My pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Imagine if with a few key concepts, you could have the potential to create a massive positive impact by bringing from hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars for swine producers. Join this small group and go to the next level of swine nutrition on the 7-week long elite online training in applied swine nutrition and feeding. It's conducted by myself, Dr. Marcio Gonçalves, and my world-class invited speakers. Additionally, you enjoy an exclusive community to exchange ideas. Go now to www.eliteswinenutritionist.com.